All right, welcome back to our weekly chat on the book Family Driven Faith by Vaughty Bachman. We are in chapter five, The Midway Point. This chapter, for me personally, was kind of like a, yeah, of course, read the Bible. But I think as you tear into it a little bit more and kind of really work through what he's saying, there's a little bit more depth than there is at the surface level. Let's just do a quick intro, as we do every week. My name is Luke Gradeless. I'm the children's leader at Stonebridge Baptist Church. Got three kiddos. I got an 11-year-old boy. I got an 8-year-old boy, and I got a 6-year-old little girl. I've been married 14 years. Anniversary coming up soon, so can't forget that. All right, Dan, tell us your story. Who are you?
My name's Dan Smith. Might as well be John Doe, but Dan Smith. Wife, been married 11 or 12 years. Got a quiver full, like I always say. Four kids. Oldest is 11. Next 9, 6, and my youngest son's about to be 1. We actually have his birthday party this next Saturday. So.
Mr. Colin.
All right, hey everyone. I'm Colin Carter. I'm one of the youth leaders at Stonebridge Baptist Church. Happily married to my wife, Jordan. We've got three kiddos, been married, excuse me, almost 13 years this upcoming May. We've got three kiddos and a promotion on the way. So we got one coming. So praise God, thankful to him. And I thought this chapter was pretty good. Let's get into it.
All right, so let's talk. So Vadi brings up like read the Bible. And I again, I think the first reaction to that was like, duh. Of course you should read the Bible. What were the main points though that you guys took away from him kind of diving into this topic of reading the Bible?
So one of the main points that I took away, right, and it's just what we've kind of been talking about, family-driven faith and multi-generational faithfulness, the end goal, but really, how do we get there? And Luke already talked about it a little bit earlier. It was just, hey, read the Bible. And specifically meaning the home is actually the primary place where all this takes place. And so we just commit that time to breaking down God's word and reading it with them, reading it to them. It essentially God's word does his work, and that's how we get to our end goal.
Yeah, to jump in there. So I think pretty much what from reading chapter 5, I see Vodi's talking about being deliberate in doing so, right? So kind of setting up this idea of like, a plan of like, hey, this is the week looks like, work schedule. When are we gonna sit down together as a family, read scripture? Are we gonna make prayer a specific part of our day and being deliberate in those actions? And I think he brings up some things like back in the day, of our forefathers, this was deliberate things that they did. Scripture was read as a family pretty consistently, family prayers consistently. But like he even mentions, like nowadays, I think a lot of families, like they check the box and say, well, as long as I find that good church, I go to church, I've done my part as far as administering, doing my job. Whereas, historically, families have always came together to read God's word. They've always came together through prayer. And they haven't just relied on finding a good church to check the box for those things. So I think being deliberate is what he was getting to.
No, and I think that was, I mean, I kind of set us up wrong there. That was a huge first point he makes is assuming the responsibility. And man, that story he tells, like I think any parent who had their child at a hospital feels that feeling of, especially with your first one, like when they let you walk out that doors with that baby, and you're kind of like, so we can just leave. You're just gonna let me. This is mine. Like you're just gonna trust me to take this kid and like, okay. If you guys think that's a good idea, and so like, one of the things I always kind of think about is we outsource everything these days, right? We Americans, especially because of their capitalistic mindset, tend to go like, can I just write a check for that? Like, is there just a way to pay someone else to do that? And I think the challenge I would make to everybody listening is, imagine you wipe out everything from your church. Wipe out the sermons, wipe out the child care, wipe out the children's church. If your kids' knowledge of scripture only came from what was given in your home by you, how deep would they be in biblical knowledge? Like that should be the pressure is this isn't anybody else's job. This is your job. God gave that child to you. You better have a plan and you better put an effort that through your specific teaching that you are helping those kids drive to a deeper relationship with the Lord built around scripture. And you know, if you look at the surveys of this, you know, the big problem he talked about all the way back in the intro, which is this 80 to 90% of kids who are leaving the church. One of the biggest pieces of feedback when these surveys have been done on the audience is the scripture and Christianity just really didn't feel like it was part of home life. It was an activity. It was a thing we did on Sundays. There was a way we behaved there. But honestly, Monday through Saturday, my house was just like everybody else's. And I think we have to take accountability to go, no, do we have a deliberate plan, strategy, and are we putting an effort to get our kids into the word and to grow? Colin, what would you say to the parents who go, hey, I'm nervous about this because my own biblical knowledge is lacking. How should they address that? Because I think that's a real concern for some people.
Yeah, so that was something I actually can relate to, and I kind of found myself, glancing or going over my own personal testimony, right? And one of the reasons is I didn't really grow up in a biblical household, right? So this is not something we did growing up. We went to church a few times, but kind of fast forwarding to where we're at when Jordan and I got married, and I didn't get saved till after we got married, and when we have our first child, and so it's like, hey, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I have no model, no example. I'm not a part of a local church, so I have no one to really lean on to. Like, what do I do? And it wasn't until kind of just getting after one of Bodhi's points within the book was just reading the Bible. That was something that helped me and has helped me grow a lot along the way. I haven't gotten to where I want to be, where I need to be, but still growing. But also utilizing the resources within the body. Whether that be brothers and sisters in Christ, but also so many other resources that are out there. Like, we have books, we have catechisms, we've got so many things on YouTube. Like, there's so many resources out there that can help equip you, and the tools are there. We just have to, A, look for them, and B, utilize them, right? And just give it a shot. God will definitely help us grow in that area, and it's all about trusting Him. And so that's one thing also I think that helped me in that aspect of, rather than, hey, I don't have to be a theologian or some guy that's well versed from a seminary. It's just really trusting and depending on God and seeking Him to accomplish that work. So
Let me add to that real quick. So I think Bodhi even mentions too, there's a super fancy word that we as Protestants, and that's been kind of forgotten since the Reformation, but it's like, it's called the doctrine of understandability, or it's fancy word, perspicuity. Y'all can correct me, whatever. But like, a lot of us focus on all these big, these important words are very important: justification, sanctification, glorification, all these kind of things. But like, this idea that like scripture can be knowable, right? Like, it can be understand by reading it, that it actually has like power enough to be able to be so clear in how it presents itself about who God is, godly issues, and different subjects that we can understand it, right? And he even uses 1 Peter 1 or 2 Peter 1:3. It says his divine power has been granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, right? So like, God's word is sufficient enough for us to read it, for God can reveal and communicate his truth to us. And that trusting in that promise of the understandability of scripture, that's a promise that God gives us that we'll be able to do. Now, there's a lot of other, like, I think we talked about this, earth flavors that you can add there, church history, context, through all those are all very important. But as far as like, leading your home in a godly way, God's word is sufficient enough to communicate to the reader on what he expects, and will equip you in doing so.
Yeah, I think that's it's a big deal. I mean, one, I love he says in there, you just need to be 1 week ahead, right? He's talking about homeschooling, and he's like, I just need to be 1 week ahead of them. And I think it's a red herring to say, well, I don't know what to say with my kids because I'm not, deep enough in it. No, just read it with them. And to your point, look, are there some master level things in there? Sure. May you miss some of the times that Christ is pulling from the Old Testament in the New if he's not specifically referencing it. But just because you just don't know the passage, sure. Might you find that you don't fully understand the depths of, end times, and is it, pre, post-trib, pre-trib, amillennialism? When is the rapture? Is there a rapture? Yeah, sure. Arminianism, Calvinism, right? There's all these deep theological debates you can get into. But I'll be real with you. I think a lot of times we get into those and we're missing the basics that are really consuming our day-to-day lives. I've seen so many brothers who are, knock down, drag out fights over, are you a 5-point Calvinist, 4-point Calvinist, 3-point? And yet most of the people in the pews are just like, hey, I am just trying to be a good, loving husband who loves his wife like Christ loved the church. And I'm trying to raise up my kids to know the Lord. And like that's what I'm focused on. And I think the beauty of scripture is, well, there is this immense depth that you can pull out of it if you want to. At the same time, you can just surface level read and be like, hey, I kind of get a theme here of love God, love people. Seems to be a big deal here. Love God, love people. I need to be obeying God. Looks like I need to be pursuing righteousness. And like what I love about scripture is a lot of times, like that's it. It's that the hard part's not knowing what it says, it's executing. Right? It's go and fight your flesh. It's submitting your will. And so I would just encourage people, like, get into it. And I think a second point to it with scripture is like, hey, it is perfectly okay to not know the answer. I mean, I can tell you as a guy who's been in ministry for 20 years, who's been a senior pastor, who's gone to school for this stuff, all of us pastor guys, we regularly get together and like, do you know what to do here? They'll be like, no, I don't. Or how do you square this? And I mean, there are some debates like the sovereignty of God and the free will of man that like literally for thousands of years, all of the greatest of minds in theology have been wrestling with exactly how does this work? That God is sovereign and rules over all, yet we are also free will and make our own choices. And how do these two truths connect? And so, like, look, there are always going to be some things in scripture that, like, they're just hard to know. For me, though, like, I'm okay with that because if what we believe about scripture is true, right? What scripture presents a God who exists eternally. He lives outside of space and he lives outside of time. He is in all places, always all knowing, ever present, right? Everything about him is so beyond you and me. That how arrogant and foolish for us to think that our feeble little minds could even comprehend what he is or how he acts or how he behaves in the full context. I mean, I can't explain to you exactly how a plane flies, but I still get in them, right? And so yet somehow when it comes to like God, I'm like, I should be able to diagram exactly how this eternal being functions. And so like be okay with the fact that there's questions you're not going to know the answers to. And it's okay to tell your kids that, like, hey, that's a great question. I don't know. Let's study it together.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the in my experience, just like for the last like 7 to 8 years, like heard me mention on the podcast multiple times about being like, men being their home's apologist, right? Like if my wife comes and asks me for a question and I don't know it, like guys use that as a way to like, hey, let me just, I don't know, sweetheart, but like I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna find the answers and I'm gonna present and explain it to you. So for me, a lot of my growth in understanding certain topics or growing in knowledge in the scriptures is one by God's grace and it's the fire that the Spirit's given me. But two, like I want to be able to find that information on behalf of my family for I can present it to them and clearly articulate it to them, right? So at the moment it's like, hey, I don't know, but you know what? Let's enjoy this journey finding out together, right? And if it's my wife and I, hey, you know what? You look at this side, I'll look at this side, we come together, what'd you find? Or if it's me finding it and presenting to them. But for me, that not knowing is kind of used as a fuel to be able to find that information and be able to present it to my family, right?
Colin, you got anything to that?
Yeah, I think oftentimes it's that tactic from the enemy of pride. Pride is like, rather than really that spirit of humility where causing us to be dependent upon God, or hey, just saying, hey, again, like y'all already mentioned, this is the answer that I don't know, but I'm willing to seek that out. And for reasons I think we've already mentioned, which is yeah, it's a thing that we're not going to fully understand and comprehend everything that God's perfectly revealed and who he is. Like, I mean, who are we to think that we can imagine or even understand, right, who he is fully? But what we have revealed through text, hey, we can answer the what we have and we can seek those things out. But just don't be afraid to operate in humility or use humility as opposed to pride and just keeping us away from seeking those things out.
I think the other thing is, and we've talked about this before this call started, like when we talk about being intentional, know that you need to change as a parent as your kids age. You know, there's a part in the book where he talks about a moment that made him both happy, but also kind of sad. And it's a moment where his daughter, he realizes his library has become his daughter's library. And so she comes in and she's like, hey, can I use your books? Because I want to get an answer to this question. And he's sad because, right, he's always been the source of truth for her. And so typically she just comes to him to like, hey, dad, what's the answer? So that makes him a little bit sad because, like, you always feel that way when your kids grow up a little bit. Like, you know, it's like when they have those pet words they use and all of a sudden they're able to pronounce them correctly. And you're like, good, finally. Yeah. But then you're also kind of like, oh, you're not going to say that anymore. So he's sad about that, but he's super excited that, like, she's now grown to a part where she is now seeking answers herself and she's learning how to do that.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that hit me where, you know, as you raise your kids, your methods have to change, right? When they're really little, you just want them to memorize the behavior. Okay. You don't do this, you do that. You don't do this, you do that, right? Like, you don't put things in your mouth. We don't really sit down and go, let me explain the philosophy of why we don't put tiny things inside of our mouth. Like, you don't do that. You just say, don't put that in your mouth. And you want them to understand right. that. And then at a certain age, you start to grow and go, don't do that. And here's why. Mm-hmm. And then the next evolution is going, here's how I'm approaching this. Here's what I'm thinking through. And here's what I think the best conclusion is, son. And then kind of the final evolution is you going, what do you think? Show me how you are using scripture and God's wisdom to approach this problem and you tell me. And I think when you talk about being intentional as a parent, you need to kind of assess where on that spectrum is your child. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest parts for a parent, in my opinion, is it's hard for us when we have to switch modes.
Right.
Right. We get used to a mode of like, hey, just do this or, you know, a certain way of acting. And at certain points, we need to pause and go, you're old enough now. Hold up. You tell me about what you think is the right thing to do in this scenario. And so to me, I think that's another thing parents should really be thinking through is, are you giving your kids enough opportunities to think through different situations in life and explain to you scripture? And a lot of that's going to come from you being vulnerable as a parent and sitting down and thinking through things. I will always, always, always appreciate that my father, when I was in my middle school and high school years, when he would go through big things like losing a job or health issues or whatever, he would sit down and he would, and my dad has a very like confident, he's a very confident man. And so like, you know, the strength and power and character are always there up front. There's a heavy facade there. And so it wasn't like, you know, he was just always deeply revealing everything. But there reached a point where he felt it was worthwhile for me to go him to sit down and go, so here's where I'm at. You know, I've got a couple job options. I'm trying to think through what God wants. I think about this with this one. I think about this with this one. I'm thinking about my responsibility to you guys and it being available to you. At the same time, I do want to make sure I can pay the bills. And like he would just walk through things. And that was so cool to me of like, wow, this is real to you. Like you're not just giving lip service to scripture. Like you're literally taking scripture and on the biggest decision of your life, you are sitting here and like trying to apply it to a real life scenario. And then from that, trying to get to a conclusion. And I've always said for all the classes I've taken, all the books I've read, all the different pastors who've poured into me, I have never learned more about faith than I did through watching my mom and dad live it out on a daily basis. And I feel that pressure in my own life of like, that's, I need to be doing that for my kids.
Hey man, I can totally agree with that one. I think that was one he mentioned as well in the book, talking about being at the breakfast table with his kids, right? And openly talking about that with him and his wife, Bridget. And it kind of just made me think like, man, how beautiful it is just to have that opportunity to hear your parents discussing certain issues or matters, right, biblically, and how much kids can gain from that. Because it's some of the tactics I try to utilize with the youth, right? And just, because they'll think, oh, I'm in the youth, I'm not that big a part of it. No, you can actually apply some of these things in your life. What does that look like being in school, right? Within your relationships, within sports, because I think you talked about it earlier about there being so many competing things within the aspect of faith. But I'm like, hey, I'm at a point today, I feel like I could still live, that Christian walk within these things, and it could still primarily influence how I operate in a lot of these different spheres. But it's just, again, giving kids that helpful tools, knowledge, and just opportunity to say, hey, let's walk these through and let's talk about them and let's figure out how do we get to that decision. I think that's a huge thing, that a blessing that you can be able to give to kids, if and when and utilize correctly.
Well, then it goes to what are you trying to build, right? Like, think about the foolishness of if you never walk them through how you think, then all you've set them up to is be respondent to your commands. Well, do you envision that when they're 35 years old and at work, their boss asks them to do something morally reprehensible, that they're going to go, hold up, before I can answer you this, let me phone a friend, my dad, and ask him what I should do. Like, no, he's probably going to, in the real time moment, going to have to make that call. And he sure as heck's going to have to do it one day when I'm dead and gone. And there's going to be a million decisions every single day of his life where he is going to have to choose, how do I dress? How do I spend my money? Where do we live? What job do I have? How do I treat my wife? How do I handle this argument? What do I do with this compromising request from my friend? Like, there's so many decisions that come into at you. And so, do you want someone who's just sitting there going, well, let me flip through the rule book?
Yeah, for
Or do
sure.
you want someone who knows how to process real time in the moment with the conversation with the Lord going, okay, here's how I'm going to handle and navigate this situation based on the word and based on my relationship with the Lord? I know that's what I want my kids to be. But what's funny is a lot of the times the way I'm parenting them doesn't reflect that.
Right. That was my example. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. So that was, it happened to actually to me today. I was over at Brother Colin's house picking up my daughter, and I didn't quite like the kind of shorts she was wearing, right? So immediately I was like, hey, I don't like those shorts, you're not gonna wear them again. And then get in the car and I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, like, okay, this is a great opportunity actually. Instead of saying, hey, you won't do this, you won't do this, kind of following the rules, Emsley, how about this? How about can you commit to praying? We're not gonna change nothing about those shorts right now. Can you commit to praying about it? And secondly, why don't you take this week and look in God's word? Find what God says about what modesty looks like, what a biblical woman should look like. Obviously, the Bible's not going to say, thou shalt not wear shorts. It's not in there, right? So we have to use some, try to exegete the text as best we can, utilize multiple scriptures and kind of see what God says about the topic about women modesty. And how about you come back to me and let's talk about it, what you found. And that was the kind of like, in Colin's house, I was like, hey, no, absolutely not. But then in the car, I was like, this is an opportunity actually for her to be able to start developing that biblical worldview. This is not me just telling her this is the biblical worldview. I'm asking her to seek after that biblical worldview through the scriptures, right? And that's how she's gonna grow on her own, is be able to, okay, well, on issues on certain things, I'm gonna see what the scriptures have to say about it because it's an authoritative source. For my life. And by doing that, right, knowing when to throttle back as a dad or as a parent and pushing child in that direction and then having a good conversation on it, we're equipping them to have that biblical worldview. So when they're out of the nest, that's how they view those things. It's like, let me go to, I don't know, but let me go to my authoritative sources guided me throughout my life and it's never failed me, right? So and I've just today I caught myself doing what I was, I shouldn't have been doing. Emsley is old enough to where she's not two anymore, as my brother Luke pointed out, as I need to know as a father, like, hey, she's not two, it's not putting, she knows not to put things in her mouth so she doesn't choke and die, right? So we're past that stage. Like, hey, let's letting her start to spread her wings a little bit and seek the scriptures, right?
And I think one of the good things too is, like, this is the last main point I got from the book, was he talks about reading other books. And whether it's books or podcasts or YouTube videos, I think one of the things, like, we're very quick to tell you all the negatives of the internet, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Yeah, at the same time, the resources we have available to us today are unbelievable. I mean, I could tell you, like, just in the last 20 years, like, guys, do you know that you can go to gracetoyou.org and you can basically listen to any John MacArthur sermon from like 1950 on almost any topic for free in its entirety over and over again? You can go to YouTube and there's guys like Mike Winger who will spend 30 hours talking about a topic like head coverings and literally go through every single verse, every single position, pro, con, more liberal, more conservative. Like, there's so many good resources out there for you to just dig into in our house. So I thought what would be helpful to wrap up, guys, is maybe we talk about some of our habits. Not to say these are perfect, but these are things that we do. So at our house, like what we've been doing this year is Nicole loves this app. It's called Through the Word. It's completely free. There's a pastor, I think his name is Chris Langham. And what he does is he just goes through chapters of the Bible every day. They're about 8 minutes. They're on an app, but it's like an audio podcast. And so on the drive to school, we put it on and it just works through a book. And the goal is to get through the New Testament in a year. And so for like 8 to 10 minutes, he kind of walks you through what the passage is saying, some of the key biblical themes of it, and then it reads the passage to you. And a lot of times, from that, the kids will ask questions, and we'll kind of talk about it. And it's, I mean, grand total, we're probably spending 10 to 15 minutes in the morning on our drive to school talking about it. But it's a cool way to start the day. It frames their minds the right way. I've been surprised sometimes where, like, some days, like, I don't even know if they're listening. But then other days, like, we'll get into a whole 30-minute conversation where I'm like, okay, you got to get out of the car right now, but let's talk about this when you get home because they were intrigued by a topic. So, like, that's one of the things we do. The other big thing I think I've shared before is, like, we try to every night before bed pray, sing a hymn of worship, and read a little bit of scripture, just do like a quick devotional. And it's habitual. Like, I think one of the things I cautious with people today is I think people are so against tradition and ritual and habit because it doesn't feel, spontaneous or emotional enough. I don't care. Like, there's many nights I don't even want to do it. There's many nights where, like, I'm so ready for the kids to go to bed and I'm like, let me go upstairs and sing the song. Here we go. But, like, I think it's important for them to know that that was something we do every day. So, like, those are just two little things we do at our house that, like, I find sometimes they don't produce a ton of fruit, but a lot of times they do create a whole stream of conversation and thought that just leads to really wonderful conversations. Colin, you got anything in your house you guys kind of do as a ritual?
Yeah, we try to go through it right there before bedtime, which is something I was actually thinking about this week because we struggle with that. Everybody's already kind of worn down, tired. So again, you're wondering like, is this mic really on, like the commercials? And so, but right now we're going to just do the Book of John, and I'll try to cover about somewhere between 12 to 14 verses and really talk about it and highlight some big things. And I'll let them read it as well, right? So it's not just me leading it. Those that can read, like, hey, I want you to read. I want you to be a part of this. And we also pray as a family. And so it's like, hey, why don't someone else pray? Pray us open, and then someone pray us out, and try to utilize them in that aspect. So that's some of the things that that we do. We try to do on a daily basis. But yeah, working on maybe bumping that time up instead of right before bed. Maybe try to get a little bit right there when I come home, when everybody's a little bit more up and awake and still on the a Wi-Fi.
Yeah. What about you,
Yeah, so
Dan?
for me, my wife's been leading on actually her quite a bit. So my work schedule is six. I work six and ones, work long hours a lot of times. So a lot of the things that we do as a family, and specifically if I'm not home, we do as like family worship. So there's the church app that we use. I forget what it's called, but they have all these like theological gospel songs, right? That the kids will this sing, and like it'll be on maybe in the morning while we're drinking, eating breakfast or things of that nature. So it gets them in a kind of a worshipful spirit for the day, just singing what's on the TV. It talks about who God is and what the Holy Spirit is. So these kind of theological songs, they can kind of get that poured in. And then one thing we've really been focusing on, kind of like Colin mentioned, is prayer. I told my kids, like, hey, I want the carpet. And I think John Wesley, if I remember right, he was a prayer warrior. He's a part of the Methodist kind of tradition, the Wesleyan theology kind of stuff. But he was a prayer warrior, and there was a, people talk about John Wesley, his knees next to his bed, the carpet was so worn down, right, by how much like he just unceasingly was praying for different things, right? And I told my kids, like, that's something that, because I'm a big guy that's like, hey, I want to talk about all these different theological topics, all this stuff with the scripture, but I've always kind of struggled with, like, hey, I'm going to consistently go to God in prayer for certain things. So as a family, that's been our goal, is to come together and try to get that. By the time we leave this home in a couple years, that carpet is going to be just all messed up because our knees are next to our bed. And then also teaching my kids how to pray. And they obviously listen to me, but I've been working on that. Is, Elaine, she's like, she's sweet. She's cute. Dear God, I hope have a good day tomorrow, right? But adding some a little bit more depth, saying, hey, look, we're gonna pray for our church. We're gonna pray for someone in need, and we're gonna pray, and be thank ask God, tell God why we're thankful for what He's doing in our lives. Just things like that. To so there's their prayers a little bit more in depth, and then we're reading John together as a family. So those are kind of the things that we're doing.
No, so I mean, I think my encouragement for everybody listening is just one, take accountability. Assume you are the only source that is going to teach these kids the word of God. And if that were true, are you doing enough that, man, when they leave your house at 18, they're going to have a strong foundation of biblical knowledge and practice in their life that they can really build the rest of their life on? Right, build their marriage on, build their career on, build their hobbies on, build their friendships on. Second, be confident in God, not you, in God. He can handle any question we've got. There are answers, there are resources, and it is perfectly fine for your kids to have hard questions and for you to sometimes be like, I'm going to get back to you on that. I don't know the answer right now. That's a good question. I'm going to get back to you on it. And then three, build the habits. Build the habits. Find a time, and look, there's no perfect habits. Just find one. Maybe it's something you do at dinner table every night. Maybe it's something you do on the car ride to drop the kids off. Maybe it's what you do right before bed. I don't know, but build something intentional so that, it doesn't turn into, the classic workout thing of, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. Build habits that are actually making your kids do something today. It's funny. I was telling the guys before we got on this call, I was watching some guy talk about habits. And he was saying, if you will just dedicate 18 minutes a day to any given practice, within 2 years, you'll be better at 90% of the world at that thing than anybody else. Just 18 minutes a day. He's like, whatever it is, 18 minutes a day swimming, 18 minutes a day golfing, 18 minutes a day doing push-ups, 18 minutes a day doing any particular activity. He goes, just most people are unwilling to dedicate any regular amount of time every single day to something. And it does not take significant amounts of time to do that. And I can tell you, man, I see this in children's church all the time where, especially Sunday school, we work on doctrine. And I'll tell you, half the time, I don't think those kids are listening to me at all. They're chit chatting, they're talking about clothes and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, I don't, is this thing on? Anybody here? But every now and then, man, you'll ask something, and all of a sudden, the kid you think's never paying attention is like, oh, well, that's because Jesus was fully God and fully man. And so, because of that, he was able to die on the cross for us, and that's why our sins are forgiven. And you're like, what?
Let's go.
Let's go,
Let's
right?
go.
And it's like they are absorbing. They are absorbing, but they're absorbing at different rates and at different times. Sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's shallow, but they're piecing it together over time. It's a long-term trend. And so just stay the course, do the work, give it to the Lord, but be passionate about this. These are gifts from Him, and we got to get these kids to the throne. He'll do the work from there, but we just got to get them to the foot of the throne to see who He is. And the Word is a beautiful way to do that. Who wants to pray us out tonight?
I'll press out.
Go for it.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, just to be able to come together and talk about some of these things, Lord. And so we just give thanks to you, Lord, that first and foremost, you gave us your word, Lord, that we are able to have, Lord, and read and understand, Lord, and just know that, Father, through your word, Lord, you are the primary agent for all things, Lord. And so we just thank you for the work that you're doing in each and every person's life, Lord, within the households. And so we just pray that your word would go out and do and accomplish everything that it was set out to do, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, for every person within the group, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, to run this race, Lord, with endurance and perseverance, Lord. We pray for the children, Lord. And Father, we just thank you again, just for everything, everyone that brought, Lord, to the group, Lord. And we just pray for more that's not a part, Lord, but just help us, Lord, reach more. And for our people to be able to reach those that are new in their circles as well, Lord. And we just pray just for the spiritual well-being of all, Lord. Watch us over tonight, Lord, and we just pray we'll be able to see one another again throughout the week, and just bless this group together, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you've done for us in Christ Jesus. We ask this in your Son's name. We pray. Amen.
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 All right. Thanks for watching. We will see you again next week.